feeling really sprightly this morning? Who's, you know, who's not? Who's, anyway, we won't go there, will we? And for those with a Chinese background, New Year starts on Monday the 23rd, but anyway, our normal Aussie New Year starts today, so you can celebrate with us. And I'm going to move that a bit, or I'm going to keep tripping over that. So, Happy New Year, Happy New Year, fantastic. We've celebrated 2011 and all that it's brought our way. And when you think back, we started the year in Australia with devastating floods, cyclones, and then that was followed by the amazing resilience and unity around a cause as together we reached out with an amazing spirit to those whose lives have been thrown into disarray. Sometimes the worst that nature can throw at us brings out the best in people. Isn't it amazing? And Australia lost the Ashes. I remember here we had a Boxing Day service here, and we actually put the cricket on the big screen after the service. And in disbelief, we just watched half the Australian team get absolutely devastated before we even got out of this building. And maybe that wasn't a great year for the start of cricket. We lost the Ashes. We lost some of our best loved figures, including a painter, Margaret Olley, Aboriginal world champion boxer, Lionel Rose. But we won the Tour de France, we won the French Open, and we won a Nobel Peace Prize. So there you go. Isn't that amazing? And I'm sure your new year has had highs and lows. And I know that the people, you know, I look at even out here this morning have navigated amazing things. Some people have navigated incredible personal challenges. People have navigated through health challenges. People have experienced amazing blessing and all sorts of things that actually comes in a year, the highs and lows that happen in a new year. As a church, our theme last year was a confident year. It was based on Hebrews 10:35, which says, "Don't throw away your confident trust in the Lord, but remember the great reward it brings." Our goal as a church was to see you grow in confidence in God, was to see you develop in Him something that is so strong that what happens to you, what happens around you, can never overcome what is actually going on the inside of you. And I believe that was one thing that God has done in us and through us and among us in 2011. So I'm looking forward to 2012. And our theme this year, our theme as a church, is a year of multiplication. Where God actually doesn't just want to add to your world. He doesn't want to just give you a little bit more. He actually wants to multiply what is happening in your world. You know, I started to think about some of the basic laws of maths. I wasn't a great student, but I can add up and I can multiply sometimes. But if you look at it, 10 plus 1 equals 11. Am I right? 10 times 1 equals 10. See, if something is added to your life, it's going to just increase incrementally. So maybe you've been given a portion, maybe you've got 10, and you're given one more, and you've got 11. But when we think about multiplication, if you want to multiply what you've got by yourself, so you've got 10, and then you multiply it by yourself, which is 1, you're going to get the same thing. You're going to get 10. But then if you actually bring other people, if you bring a partnership with God into your world and He starts to multiply it, just look at that. So 10 plus 1 is 11, but 10 plus 2 is 12, but 10 times 2 is 20. And you see, multiplication, and I could just keep going, couldn't I? Because I go 10 times 3 is 30, 10 times 4 is 40, 10 times 5 is 50, and 10 times 10 is 100, and 10 times 20 is 200. And you see, very quickly with multiplication, there is an exponential effect where things actually start to increase. And I'm not going to talk about a heap about that this morning, but I believe that in us as a church and in you as individuals, that God is wanting to multiply. That He doesn't want you just to have a little bit. He doesn't want just to add something to you. He wants to multiply your efforts. He wants to multiply your passion. He wants to multiply your strength. He wants to multiply the influence that you have. This, I believe, is going to be a year of multiplication. So let's be excited about that. I believe, regardless of how you rate your 2011, that your best days are ahead. And I was thinking, actually, this morning as I walked out the door, And I said to our cat, and he understands me, and our cat is 17. And I was thinking about your best days ahead, and I was thinking, well, the poor cat, perhaps his best days are actually not ahead of him, they're behind him. But then I thought, no, he's happier than ever. He has been so fussy that he's forced us to feed him some of the best food that you can buy. He's up on the Dine cat food. You know, he won't eat anything else, the little coot. And so in a way, his best days are actually ahead of him. He's had the best Christmas he's ever had. My father-in-law, who thinks he's wonderful, was just feeding him great wads of turkey under the table while we're having Christmas dinner. So, you know, his best days are absolutely ahead of him. And I believe your best days are absolutely ahead of you. Regardless of what has happened in your 2011, maybe you've had a fantastic year, maybe you've been through challenges. But I believe, because it is a principle in the kingdom of God, that your best days are not behind you, that we look forward to our best days ahead of us. So I really want to get this across really strongly, that no matter where you've been, no matter what you're facing right now, no matter what you're seeing, that your best days are absolutely ahead of you. Whether you're 10, whether you're 20, whether you're 25, whether you're 70, whether you're 75, I believe that your best days are absolutely ahead of you. I'm 44, and I start to notice the effects of being 44 sometimes, but I believe my best days are absolutely ahead of me. They're not behind me, they are ahead of me. Your best days are ahead of you. Why don't we open our Bibles to Acts? And Acts is actually an unfinished book. Acts has never been finished. Do you know why Acts has never been finished? Because you are writing the last chapters. Because you are part of the last chapters of Acts. Acts is about the Acts of the Apostles, all that God actually started to do through people, the way that He multiplied, the way that He built His church. And it's not a finished story. It's not got a conclusion at this stage. Acts is absolutely unfinished. And Acts is a book about multiplication. It's a book that immediately after Jesus returned to His Father, did you know that there were 120 believers? When the Holy Spirit came on people on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 people in that upper room, in that room that were waiting for the Holy Spirit. And then that very day, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, it went from 120 to 3,000. There's multiplication. It wasn't 120 plus one or two. It was a multiplying effect. 120 became 3,000. And did you know by the end of the first century, this book of Acts talks about the way that the church multiplied, the way that God did amazing things through His people. By the end of the first century, that is believed that there were 1 million believers. Isn't that amazing? In one century, with the multiplication of the Holy Spirit and what God was doing, we go from 120 to 3,000. In 100 years, we see 1 million believers. And we see the gospel had gone right throughout the Roman Empire. It had reached every part of the Roman Empire. It had actually gone as far as India. We know that the Apostle Thomas actually got to India and that the gospel had taken root in India. That happened in 100 years. And amazing. What can God do in your life this year? He wants to multiply what is happening in your world. So let's have a look at Acts. And we'll have a look at Acts chapter 1. And we're going to look at 6 to 11. And it says this. It says, when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking Him, Lord, when has the time come for You to free Israel and restore Your kingdom? Verse 7. Then He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and it's not for you to know. Listen to this. But, this is a huge but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses, telling people about Me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying these things, He was taken up in a cloud. While they were watching Him, they could no longer see Him. As they strained to see Him rising into heaven, two white-robed men appeared among them. Verse 11 says, men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here looking into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday He will return from heaven the same way you saw Him go. Verse 11, the way I read it, is why are you standing there wondering what happened? Why are you looking up into the sky? It is a new season. It is absolutely a new season. These guys had the most amazing, perhaps, 3 years of their life. They had seen Jesus do all sorts of amazing things, and all of a sudden, after their world being turned upside down, after Jesus being executed, after all that happening, they're standing there, and all of a sudden, he's gone. And they're standing there, they're looking up into the sky, thinking, where's he gone? What's happening? What is next? And they're perhaps dumbfounded, and all of a sudden, we say two white-robed men turn up amongst them, whether they're angels, I don't know what they were. But it says that they actually said, hey guys, don't just stand there, it's a new season. It's time for you to embrace the new season. As good as it was, as amazing as it was being with Jesus, as amazing as it was seeing him feed 5,000 people, as amazing as it was seeing him heal blind Bartimaeus, as amazing as it was the Last Supper in the upper room, as amazing as it was seeing him challenge religiosity, as amazing as it was seeing him clean out a temple and get rid of corruption, as amazing as all that was, they are not the glory days. Your glory days start here, right now. And I want to encourage us as we go into 2012 that your glory days are not in the past. Your glory days are not when you were 20 and young and sprightly. Your glory days can actually start now if we allow the Jesus to get into us and allow everything that he wants to do in us and through us. To be honest, it starts absolutely right now. It's your turn. That's what these guys were saying to the apostles. Yeah, Jesus did this amazing ministry, but just remember, Jesus said, you will do everything I did and more, and your turn actually starts now. That season's gone. Let's look forward to what's happening. I better keep moving. I haven't got long left, and I'm going to finish this, and so I'm not going to give you any bells and whistles. This is just going to be the stuff. Your best days start now. See, the gospel of Jesus, his answer for taking the message of hope of the world that went through Jerusalem, throughout Judea, into Samaria, and to the ends of the Roman Empire, if they had just stood there, huddled together, talking about the glory days, nothing would have happened. Nothing would have happened. And as a church, we can look back to glory days. As the church, we can look back to this revival or that revival or whenever these things happen, and we can learn from those things, but we're not supposed to be looking back. You see, the glory days actually start now. The future, your future, starts right here, absolutely right now. Regardless of whether 2011 was a cracker year for you or whether it was one you sooner forget, your best days start right now. To live out your best days, to live a year of multiplication, number one, just get hold of this fact that your future starts now. Your future starts now. It doesn't start when, if, and all that. The number two, the best days for 2011, to live a year of multiplication, number two, embrace the new season. Embrace the new season. See, the disciples, the apostles, They could have sat there, they could have worked out all sorts of ways that they could bring back the glory days of Jesus. They could have even gone and tried to find themselves another Jesus who could go around and could minister the same way, or could, you know, just trek around the country and start preaching to people. But when those angels appeared to them, they said, hey, that season's gone, it's done, it's behind you, you've actually got to move into the new things. It's the season of the church. It's the season of the empowered individual. It's the season of people making a difference. And they had to embrace the new season. If you want all that God has got for you, regardless of what is happening in your world right now, regardless of what happened in 2011, let's embrace the new season. Because it always is new. There are always things. You see, change. And I was only talking to Bob about this last night. And he talked about change. And as a church, we understand that we need to change, we need to move on. Nothing ever stays the same, but sometimes change can be challenging. Sometimes it can be hard. Sometimes it's easier to go back to what we think are the glory days. If you want to move on to what God has got for you, embrace the change, embrace the new season. I'll keep going here. So when the apostles were with Jesus, this is verse 6, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and it's not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So these guys were asking questions like, oh, when's the kingdom of God going to be restored? When's Israel going to be this world power? And they were looking for this Shazam moment. They were looking for something to happen just like that. They were looking for Jesus to suddenly put his cape on and be the superhero and deal with all that stuff. And they've got one last shot. You know, they sense that something's going to happen. And they say, Jesus, when is it going to happen? When are you going to restore your kingdom? And he says to them, well, guys, I couldn't even tell you that if I knew. He said, I don't know. The Father is the only one that knows that. And then he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. I want to encourage us, let's not get sidetracked. Let's not get bogged down in some of the questions that we can't answer. Let's not get sidetracked in the what ifs and the maybes and the whens and the hows, but let's live in the fact that when the Holy Spirit comes on us, we will receive power. You know your weaknesses, you know your limitations, but to live in an atmosphere of multiplication, you will need the multiplying effect of the Holy Spirit. Number one, I said that your year starts where you are right now. And number two, that you've actually got to decide that you're going to embrace a season of change. And number three, I believe that we've actually got to embrace the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to embrace the power of the Holy Spirit, because when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will do all these things. You'll be witnesses. Jesus said, don't get bogged down in the stuff, but remember the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come on you and you're going to see amazing things actually happen in your world. It's going to multiply what you've already got. All right, to live your best days in 2011, to live a year of multiplication, number three, start where you are. It's not going to be better when the kids get through this season. Yeah, it will be in some ways. It's not going to be better when you get through school. It's not going to be better when you get through uni. It's not going to be better when you get through whatever's happening at the moment. Yes, there will be aspects of it, but your future actually starts right here, right now, where you are. The interesting thing was, when Jesus talked to them, he says, the Holy Spirit will come on you and you will be my witnesses. He says, in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Just think about that. Jerusalem was where their leader had just been executed by an angry mob. Jerusalem was where public opinion had totally turned against them and ostracized them and isolated them. And Jesus is saying, your future starts right here in Jerusalem. I know, if I was there, we'd be thinking, hey, let's just clean up, let's get out of here, you know, let's get in a group and let's go over to Rome or somewhere like that and just get away from what is going on here and take the message that we've received and start there. And sometimes we think that our future is going to start somewhere else. Your future starts right here, right now. Where is your Jerusalem? Your Jerusalem might be your workplace. Your Jerusalem might be your family. Your Jerusalem might be your marriage. Your Jerusalem might be whatever you've got that's going on in your world right now. And it might seem challenging, but you know, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, when the multiplying effect of His Spirit comes on you, you will be His witnesses. You will have the power, you will have the comfort, you'll have the encouragement. You will have whatever it takes to get through that season. Where is your Jerusalem? Your best days start now. And the band want to join me, please, and we'll get wrapped up. Listen to this. Paul said in Philippians, he says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things. And he's talking about all these amazing things that had actually happened to him, the fact that he was a very privileged sort of guy. He says, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus has possessed me. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, forgetting what it lies behind, and looking forward to what lies ahead. No matter where you've been, no matter what's happened in your year, I want you to underline that in your Bible. But I focus on this one thing. I'm gonna forget about what lies behind. I don't mean you've got to suddenly block it out of your mind and pretend it's not there. I mean that what has actually happened to you doesn't need to define where you're going in the future. You can actually be defined like the apostles were when they would receive power when the Holy Spirit come on them, and they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and all the ends, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. In other words, God wants to start with you right here, right now. He wants to start working in your world where you are right now, and he wants 2012 to be a year of amazing multiplication in your life. And it starts where you are, right here, right now. Let's stand. Let me pray this over you together. Ephesians 1:19 to 23 says this. Actually, I'm just going to pray 19 and 20. It says, I also pray. Let's receive this. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead and seated him in the place of God, at God's right hand and in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler and authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Come on, let's receive that. Come on, let's worship God as we finish this morning. In just a moment, I'm going to give people just an opportunity to actually receive Jesus for the first time. Why not start 2012 with an amazing relationship with Jesus Christ? Let's worship, and I'll be back in just a moment.
In our hearts, Lord, in this nation, do Spirit, we desire.